Okay, today's daf is Menachos Daf Tzadi Ches. We left off in middle of a conversation on Daf Tzadi Zayin Beis. The Gemara, when we left off, was trying to figure out what Pshat is in the Pasuk in Yecheskel. The Pasuk in Yecheskel seems to refer to Amos that are both Bas Chamisha Tzvachim and Bas Shisha Tzvachim, and we're not sure exactly what's what. So the first possible explanation that we had was that the height of the Mizbeach, and discussing the height of the Mizbeach, the 10 Amos of the height of the Mizbeach, was measured by Amos that were Bas Chamisha, generally speaking, the Amos HaBinyan, or Amos Bas Shisha, but then we reject that, we went through the whole discussion about if you measure out where the Chodah Sikra would end up if you follow this Cheshbon. So it would turn out that the Chodah Sikra would be more than an Amma beneath, or less than an Amma beneath the Sovev, and it says that he has up until an Amma beneath the Sovev to put the Ola Sa'ov. So we rejected possibility number one, in terms of that some of the Amos of height were Bas Chamisha and some of the Amos of height were Bas Shisha, from the Yisod al Sovev being Ba'am Bas Chamisha, etc., and from the Soveva on up, Bas Shisha, we said that can't be the case. So then we went on to possibility number two, and that's what we were in the middle of discussing. Not that that along the height of the Mizbeach, there were some Amos that were Bas Chamisha, and some Amos that were Bas Shisha. No, if we say the Mizbeach was 10 Amos high, it was 10 Amos high, with uniform Amos across the entire height of the Mizbeach. Rather, what we're talking about is that the Knisa and the Sovev, that when we say an amma in, by each time you go up on the Mizbeach, so you go in one, so that's the Yesod, the Knesset of the Yesod, and then you go up five and in another one, so that's the Knesset of the Soviv, that those amos of width across the Yesod and the Sovev, those are only Amos Bas Chamisha Tfachim. But when we describe the entire width of the Mizbeach, 32 Amos by 32 Amos, those are Amos Bas Shisha Tfachim. So the Gemara was trying to figure out, well, then it doesn't really work out. The measurements don't really work out, because if you're only going in less than an Amma, so then you don't have 30 Amos left on after you've gone up the Yesod. If the whole Mizbeach was 32 Amos, uniform Amos, and you went up one Amma and in one Amma on each side, so then you'd have 30 uniform Amos left. But you don't really have that if you only went in 5 Tfachim on each side. You would have 30 Amos plus 2 Tfachim. You go up another 5 and in another 5 tefach amos, so then you wouldn't have 28 amos left. You'd have 28 amos plus 4 tefachim, and then by the Kronos, when you'd go in another amos bas chamisha tefachim, you wouldn't have 26 amos left. You'd have 27 amos left, and that's off by an entire amos, and we'd rather not be off by an entire amos. So the Gemara says, lo duck. So I guess we're really right in the middle of something. So I guess we'll pick up from lo duck, or the last words on the line. So makom hiluch raglei kohanim. Amma mizeh va'amma mizeh, nimsa esrim va'arba al esrim va'arba, makom ha'aracha esrim v'chamisha avai. So we said in the Mishnah or in the Brisa that the place where the Raglei HaKohanim can go is 24 by 24. I'm sorry, the makom ha'aracha is 24 when you take out the makom Raglei HaKohanim where the Kohanim walk around with the Amma inside of the Kronos. But no, it should be 25 because we kept on going in less than an Amma by the Yesod and by the Sovev and by the Kronos. And if you say, okay, maybe we're just being imprecise, that you're right, that it's 25 Amos of the Makom HaRacha, the place on the top of the Mizbeach where they were able to burn things, was 25 and not 24. Ariel Orech Rocha Ravua. So Pasuk says that it's that the Makom of the HaRacha from the middle was 12 Amos to each side. So the Pasuk is, it's hard to say that it's being completely imprecise. So Yachol Sheinu El Shtemesrei El Shtemesrei. I might have thought just from the pasuk that it's a 12 amma by 12 amma area. Kshomer Al Arba'as Ravav Melami Chebe Emtzah Hu Moded Shtemesrei Amma L'Kol Ruach. Tells you that we're measuring from the middle, that it's 12 ammos to each in each direction, but not that it's actually 12 ammos by 12 ammos. Those are the quadrants, are 12 ammos by 12 ammos, but in its entirety, it's 24 ammos. So V'chitei. So if you, okay, so now we're stuck, because again, if we're saying that the Amma Bas Chamisha are as we go go in by the Yisod and by the Sod and by the Kronos. So it turns out that the description of the Mizbeach and how much space is left on the top of the Mizbeach to actually burn things is imprecise, and it's off by an entire Amma. And we don't want to be off by an entire Amma. To be off by less than an Amma, okay, great. So we could say lo duck, but to be off by an entire Amma, that's very bad. V'chitema, so maybe you're going to say shis minayu meikara ba'amma bas chamisha ma'isiluhu, that when they first made the Mizbeach, Lamed Beis Alamed Beis, 32 Amos by 32 Amos, maybe all of those 32 Amos were not uniform Amos. Maybe we said that they made the footprint of the Mizbeach, it's supposed to be 32 Amos by 32 Amos, maybe 26 of those Amos are 6 Tefach Amos, and 6 of those Amos are 5 Tefach Amos. And therefore it turns out, if you're missing an Amma, you've just made it up. The Amma that we were missing by saying they were only going in Chamisha Tefachim at the Yisod, and Chamisha Tefachim at the Soviv, and Chamisha Tefachim at the Kronos, and Chamisha Tefachim in the Makom Hiluch Ragle Kwan, or the Kronos, that's it. So that's the full Amma of discrepancy. That full Amma is made up by the fact that the Mizbeach, the footprint of the Mizbeach, is actually one Amma smaller than we thought it was. Because 6 of the Tefachim, 6 of the Amos are one Tefach smaller than we thought they were. 6 Tefachim is an Amma. So the entire Makom of the Mizbeach, the footprint of the Mizbeach, was actually one Amma smaller than we thought it was. And therefore everything works out great. Says Gemara, no, not so great, because that makes the Mizbeach work out great, except the problem is, it doesn't make the way the Mizbeach fits into the Azara work out so well. Imkein, Rav Chala Azara. Turns out that the Azara has more open space than we give it credit for in the Mishnayos. The Tanan, because the Mishnah tells us in terms of the Azara and how things fit in the Azara, the Mishnah Midos, Kol Azara Yisa Orech Meo Shmona Mesheva Al Rochav Meo Shosh Mechamish. The Azara was 187 Amos long, 135 Amos wide. Mimizrach Lemarov Meo Shmona Mesheva. From east to west, it had 187 Amos, and the Mishnah spells out exactly how we fit the 187 Amos, what went in all the 187 Amos of the length of the Azara. Makum Jesus Ragli Yisrael Lachas Esrei Amma. Where the Ragli Yisrael were able to go, that's 11 Amos. Makum Jesus Ragli Kohanim Achas Esrei Amma. The place of Jesus Ragli Kohanim is another 11 Amos. That's 22. HaMizbeach Shloshim Ishtayim. The Mizbeach was another 32. That's 54. Bein Ulam V'la Mizbeach Esrim Ishtayim Amma. Between the Ulam and the Mizbeach was another 22. That's 76. Heichal Mea Amma. The Heichal was 100 Amma, so that's 176. And then Achas Esrei Amma Achori Beis HaKaporos. Then you have 11 Amos behind the Beis HaKaporos, which is 187. But we're counting the Mizbeach for a full 32. If you're going to say that the Amos of Binyan are all Shisha Tefachim, so we're saying that it's 187 Amos of Shisha Tefachim each, and then you're counting the Mizbeach as 32 uniform Amos of 6 Tefachim each, so you can't say that 6 of those Amos were really 5 Tefach Amos, because then you're missing an Amma somewhere. So this pshat doesn't work out. So the second basic approach to the pasuk, where we want to suggest that the Mizbeach had Amos Bas Chamisha Tefachim by the Yisod and the Soviv and the Kronos, doesn't work out. So rather, what is pshat in the pasuk in Yecheskel? So now we're on to the third pshat. El Cheka Amma Begova. When we say Cheka Amma, that means Begova in the height. Amarochav Knisa. And Amarochav is reference to the Knisa, to the when you go in. So says Rashi, what does that mean? Chekama Begova, Osa Amma Shemina Ritzba Vyada Yisod, Ba'amma Bas Chamisha. The Amma that goes from the floor up to the Yisod, it's only one Amma high, the Yisod, that's an Amma Bas Chamisha Tfachim, Va'amma Rochav Rochav Knisa. The Knisa de Soviv Amma Bas Chamisha, Aval Knisa de Yisod Amma Benini. Not all of the Knisos were Bas Chamisha. The Knisa of the Soviv was Bas Chamisha. The area where they would walk around on the Soviv was only 5 Tfachim wide, but the area on the Yisod that was a Knisa was 6 Tfachim wide. So basically, the Mizbeach was as follows. From the floor, 5 Tfachim up, 6 Tfachim in. 5 Amos Bas Shisha up, 5 Tfachim in. three amos bas shisha up, and then the chronos are all at the edges. Well, the chronos are actually five tefachim high, so that's where the next line is. Gvul al svasa saviv, Rashi says the gavu de keren ba amos bas hay. The chronos are five tefachim high. Didn't we lose two tefachim now in terms of the measurement of 32 by 32? Yeah, but that's low duck, and that's okay. Meaning, if only one of the knisos was off by tefach on each side, so that's okay. Then we're only off by two tefach, and we're not off by an amma. You just can't say low duck when it's an entire amma that we're messing up. But it could be low duck when you're off by just a couple of tefachim. So lo shna hachi v'lo shna hachi, as Rashi writes, kolomar knisasun de krenos yibay lemer nami ba amma bas chamisha lo ichbadlan kiven de knisos yisod ba amma bas sheish lo pashle ben keren le keren el chav vav v'arba tefachim shtayim b'knisos yisod v'shtayim b'knisos krenos v'kiven de lavi amma lo chashavla. Meaning, you could say whatever you want in terms of the width of each of the chronos. It could still be five tefachim, and that would be fine as well, because we're still not up to an amma of discrepancy, of an amma of a problem. It's only when we have when we have the entire measurement of the mizbeach being off by a full amma that we're actually going to be bothered. So the chronos may actually be squares of five tefachim by five tefachim. Fine, mizbeach kamahavi. So now, how tall was the mizbeach according to this cheshbon? So we said that the mizbeach, the height of the mizbeach, was about 10 amos high, and they're all amos bas shisha tefachim, except for the bottom amma and the top amma, right? The yisod is only five tefachim high, and the chronos are only five tefachim high. So except for the bottom and the top amma, they're all six tefach amos. The bottom and the top are only five tefachim amos. So how tall is the mizbeach? Chamishin utmanya. 58 tefachim tall is the mizbeach. Palgid mizbeach kamahavi. So what's the midpoint of the mizbeach? Now we have to just make sure it works in terms of the being allowed to put the blood of the olas ha'of up until one amma beneath the sovev. So what's the midpoint of the mizbeach? Where was the chud ha'sikra? Esrin v'tisha. 29 amos is the midpoint. 29 tefachim rather is the midpoint. 29 tefachim off the ground. 29 tefachim from the top. So mikronos v'yad sovev kamahavi. How much space is there from the top of the chronos until the sovev where the kohen walks, esrim v'tlasa, it's 23. Why? Because you have three amos from the sovev up until where the chronos start, and those are amos bas shisha tvachim, so that's 18. And then you have the keren itself, the chronos themselves, which are only 5 tvachim, that's another 5. 18 plus 5 is 23. So it's 23 tvachim from the top of the mizbeach to the sovev. Kama batzir lepalge de mizbeach shisa. How much more do you still need to go down in order to reach the midpoint of the mizbeach? Another 6 tefachim below that, because we said the midpoint of the mizbeach was 29 tefachim. So another 6 tefachim below that, and you're at the midpoint of the mizbeach. Utnanim asal lamata miraglav afilu amachas ksheira, and that's perfect, because we said that if they put the blood of the olas ha'of up until one amma below the sovev, that is perfectly kosher. Dekanami dechsev cheka amma va'amarochav shvamina, and the it's meduyuk also that cheka amma is and the amarochav are the amos bas chamisha tefachim, from the fact that it calls one cheka amma and the other amarochav. It's shani b'dibure, Rashi says he uses different lashonos, so it must be that this pshat is correct, that when that the sovev, when it goes up, it goes, the yisod rather goes up 5 tefachim, but in 6 tefachim, then we go up 5 amos of 6 tefachim amos, and in 5 tefachim, and then up 3 amos of 6 tefachim amos, and then the chronos are 5 by 5 tefachim. That's the Gemara's conclusion. Fine. The kama amma beninus. How big is an amma beninus? What's the average amma? Amr b'yochlan shisha tefachim. Amma beninus is 6 tefachim. Amr b'yosberav afina namitanin rameir omar shulchan orcho shnei masar v'rachvo shisha. The shulchan was 12 tefachim long and 6 tefachim and 6 tefachim wide. So 6 tefachim wide is the amma beninus. That works out very good. That's the beninus was bas shisha tefachim. You see clearly. Mechal davya amya amma dinafisha minat. that. But wait a second, the fact that you call that an Amma Beinonis makes it sound like there is some other Amma that's bigger than it. If you call this if you would call it the big Amma, so good. I would just know that there's a smaller one. The fact that you call it a Beinonis implies that there's something smaller and something bigger. But where do we ever have an Amma that's bigger than Shisha Tfachim? We've been discussing Bas Chamisha Tfachim and Bas Shisha. How do you have bigger than Shisha? So we're in. Yeah, we have exactly like we discussed yesterday. Vatnan, Shtei Amos Hayu B'Shushan Abira. There were two Amma measuring sticks in Shushan Abira. Again, Shushan Abira being the room that was built on the eastern gate of the Azara, and it had a picture on it of Shushan Abira. We'll discuss why it had that picture later in the daf. But there was this this room that in the Beis Hamikdash. So that room of Shushan Abira had these two measuring sticks, both of an Amma, basically. Achas al Karen Mizrachas Tzvonis, one was kept in the northeastern side of the room, Vachas al Karen Mizrachas Dromis, and one in the southeastern corner of the room. Shal Karen Mizrachas Tzvonis, by the one that's on the northeastern side of the room, Yisera al Shalmoshe Chatzi Etzba. It was an Amma that was six Tfachim plus a half an Etzba. So it was bigger than the Amma of Moshe by half an Etzba. Shal Karen Mizrachas Dromus, the one that was kept in the southeastern corner, was bigger than that one by a chatzi etzba. Nimsa Yisera al Shal Moshe etzba. Turned out that it was a full etzba bigger than Moshe. So interesting. We started out by saying, where do you ever have an amma that's bigger than six tfachim? And we said, well, actually, we have two ammas that are bigger than six tfachim. There were two ammas kept in Shushan Abira. Both of them were bigger than six tfachim. One of them was bigger by one etzba, by a half an etzba. One of them was bigger by one etzba. V'loma amru achas gedol of achas ketan. Why do they have one larger one, one smaller one? So that when someone contracts to do work for the Beis HaMikdash, we would want him to measure out his commitment with the smaller one and then deliver the goods with the bigger one. So that just to be extra careful that he doesn't get any undue benefit from the Mammon Hekdish, from the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore he would when he was measuring out the job, he would measure out what the materials and what he would use, what he would need to build with the smaller one, and he would deliver the bigger one, so that if anything he paid out of pocket. Vitarti Lamali, but wait a second, why do you need two that are bigger than Moshe? Just measure out the job with the legitimate one, with a real Amma of six tfachim, and deliver with a slightly bigger one. Why do you need two that are slightly bigger? One that's slightly bigger by a half an etzba, one that's slightly bigger by a full etzba. So it's a question of how generous we want the worker to be. Chadal kaspa v'dava v'chadal binyana. If he's committing to do something with the binyan abayis, to clean out or to do something in terms of bedek abayis, so fine. So then we'll let him we'll make him estimate by a full etzba of difference to commit to deliver more than he committed to do by a full etzba. But when he's committing to make something out of gold or silver, so an etzba is a lot of money, so we don't want him to have to commit a full etzba more. If you look at Rashi, v'chadul davel l'kaspa k'shemasin sorfei zov lasos tavla bas chamesh o bas eser ba'am shel Moshe, when they would commit to make a tavla, a tile that's five or ten amos, they would measure it out with Moshe Rabbeinu's amma. Osno sol demidas amma yaseira lechatzi etzba. When they would make it, they would only want to use the amma that's a chatzi etzba bigger. V'lo ba'osa sheyaseira le'etzba, not the one that's a full etzba bigger. V'lisha umnus yukarihi. Vein tov lafsidin kol kach. It's not nice to cost these workers all that money. Gold is very, very expensive. So they would end up losing a ton of money by doing that. We don't want that to happen. Fine. Just in terms of these shtei amos that were in Shushan Abira, exactly where Shushan Abira was a discussion in the Rishonim. Rashi and Tosos and the Bar Tanura and the Rash all explained that it was a room built on the Shar HaMizrachi Shel HaAzara, on the eastern gate of the Azara, and it had this tavnis of Shushan Abira, image of Shushan Abira on it. The Rambam in the Perush Mishnayos, though, in the Meiri, write that it was not on the eastern gate of the Azara, it was on the eastern gate of above the Harabayis. And Rashi seems to say that way in Masech HaSukkah as well, that it was in the eastern gate of the Harabayis, not the eastern gate of the Azara. Now, these Amma measurements that were larger than the Amos of Moshe, why do we refer to the Amma Bashisha Tfachim as an Amma of Moshe? What was Moshe Rabbeinu's role in determining an Amma Bashisha Tfachim? We keep calling it the Amma Shel Moshe. So Rashi, Masech HaSukkah, says that Moshe was Masak in the Midas Amma of Shisha Tvachim, and what he means is the Amma Bashisha Tvachim was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. Tos Yantuf quotes in the name of Rashi that it was based on the Midas Orcho Shel Moshe, that the Amma, how big an Amma is really from a person's elbow to a person to the top of a person's middle finger. That's the size of an Amma. So Amma Shel Moshe meant that it was based on the measurement of Moshe Rabbeinu's body, of Moshe Rabbeinu's arm. That's what we mean by Amma Shel Moshe. The problem the Achronim raised with that is that Chazal tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu was not of a person of normal height, that unless his body was severely disproportionate, Mishnah Achrona points out that if Moshe Rabbeinu was really 10 amos tall, so it wouldn't really make sense for his Amma on his arm to be only one Amma. Our Ammas are one Amma, and we're not 10 Ammas tall. So Moshe Rabbeinu's body would have to have been extremely disproportionate to have measured out the Amma Bashisha Tfachim based on Moshe Rabbeinu. Another Ha'ara, another point, is Tulsus writes over here that which we say that they would measure out with different Ammas and deliver with a larger Amma so that it doesn't come to Mi'ila, so they don't come to be Mol Behegdish, says Tosos Lav Dafka, Tap Tosos, the Hegdish Shavaman, Shechil al Shavaprut Machulal, El Shalay Rotzim Lehanos Mishal Hegdish. It wouldn't really be Mi'ila, because if you are Poda, something from Hegdish, it doesn't have to be Nifta Beshavio. If you take something worth a mana and you're Poda for a Pruta, it is Niftes, it is redeemed, and it no longer belongs to Hegdish. So it wouldn't be a violation of Mi'ila. You're not allowed to do that, you're supposed to be fair when redeeming from Hegdish, but it would work. So it's not Mi'ila per se, it's really just they didn't want to be Nana on the Cheshbin of Hegdish. That's how Hatosa says. Now the Achronim point out that there is another Tosfos that we had earlier in the Masechta on Dafayin Alpha and Beis, where Tosfos Shita was that this halacha that Hegdish is Shavamana, that you're Mechal Shavaprut, that it's Mechulal, is only if the Bailim is the one doing the Pidyon. But if someone other than the Bailim is being put to the Hegdish, then you have to give the full value, and short of that the Pidyon is not going to work. So then you don't have to say that it's Lav Dafka. If you say like that Tosfos, then you don't have to say like this Tosfos, that the word Mi'ila is Lav Dafka. The word Mi'ila may be Dafka, that it is in fact a violation of Mi'ila, because this guy is not the Bailim. You need to be the Bailim in order to be Poda something of Hegdish for something other than its value. Question is why? Why is there such a Chilik? Why is it that the Bailim has any more powers of Pidyon than anybody else? After all, once he gives it to Hegdish, doesn't it belong to Hegdish? Why should his abilities to be Poda be different than anybody else's abilities to be Poda? So the Tori Evan and McGill on Chav Gimel and Beis says that the Bailim is different because the Hegdish is Chal al pi the Bailim, and therefore they were makel to allow him to be Poda for even less money. But other people who didn't control the initial Hegdish, who didn't do anything to make the original Hegdish, they don't have that ability. So Turi Evan says it would turn out, according to that Kedushas Petr Chamor, the Bailim is not allowed to be Poda for less than the Shavio with Petr Chamor, because the Petr Chamor, the Kedushas Chal Me'eleha, the Kedusha comes on its own. The Bailim wasn't Maktish it. This is only a din, because the Bailim has the Koach to be Maktish, he has the Koach to be Poda. Turi Evan also suggests that maybe it's because we paskin that Nisholin al Hekdeshos. So since the Bailim could be Shoel on his commitment to Hegdish, like he could be Shoel on Adarim, he can undo the commitment, and therefore Lemafreya make it that it was never Hegdish for no money at all, so we're going to allow him to be Poda for less than the value, because he has a way out to do it for no money at all. That's the Turi Evan's Kam. The Chaznish in Bechoros isn't really so happy with this Turi Evan, because he doesn't understand why what sort of taina this is. That just because you're the one that made it Hegdish, or you have the ability to be Shoel, but Lemaisa you aren't Shoel, so it does belong to Hegdish. So how can you take it for less than its actual worth? They don't like, Chaznish doesn't like this Turi Evan. He doesn't understand this idea of the Turi Evan. some of the Acharim suggest, no, the reason that this din of being poda bepachas mishavio doesn't apply, I mean, really, din daraisa is that everyone should be able to be poda bepachas mishavio, that a hektish should be mechul al shava pruta for everybody. Why is it that people other than the bailim we don't allow it for? So some of the Acharim explain, the Dvar Avram in Chelek Aleph Siman Tes Vav Osei explains that, because then it would be crazy. I would donate something very valuable to the Beis HaMikdash, and it was a tremendous commitment for me to donate something worth thousands and thousands of dollars. Someone else is going to come along and give the Beis HaMikdash a dollar and take it. And that's not fair. I'm going to say, hey, what's going on over here? How could that guy? So we're not going to allow for pidyon of pachos mishavyo for anybody but the bailim, but the person, because then it could just be complete chaos in terms of the way the donations work toward the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, that's just a little bit in terms of that concept of mi'ila. Vaitu in the Gemara now. So we said that Tana and Hasam, I think we're in the fourth wide line, Tanan Hasam Shara Mizrach, Alav Shushan Abira Tzura. So in the Shara Mizrach, they had this image of Shushan Abira right there by the eastern gate of, according to most Rishonim, the Azara, according to the Rambam, the Harabayis. My time, why an image of Shushan Habira of all places? Rav Chizav, Rav Yisrael, Rav Dimi, Chadar Mekadei Sheyedu Mehechan Ba'u. One says that it's so that they should know from where they came from. And Rashi says, why do you need to know where you came from? V'yiru Mehechan Ba'u, V'yitnu Hodah L'malchus Shotziyah Misham. That they should give Hodah to the Malchus that they were able to get out of there. So it's a way of giving Akar Satov, who's a reminder of where we came from, to appreciate where we are and the fact that we were able to have a Beis HaMikdash. Rabbeinu Chananel says, no, it's for us to be able to say, Bavonoseichem galisam l'sham, va'ata alisam misham. That we should be able to say, to remind ourselves of what gets us into Galus in the first place. It's a reminder to always do tshuva, and to remember Galus and how close Galus can be if we don't act properly. V'chad Amar, the other one says, no, k'dei shetei emas malchus aleihem, that the purpose is not for Akaras HaTov, or for fear of Galus, but it was rather to imbue in us a fear of the Malchus Paras, that we shouldn't rebel against the Malchus, so we show the respect to the Malchus of actually having an image of the Malchus right there in our Beis HaMikdash. Very similar to the idea that for centuries already, there are shuls that say a tefillah for the Shalom of the Malchus, for the Shalom of the Malchus. Aye, how could you change what we do in shul? Okay, so some people didn't like it, but others would say, no, that's the we have good precedent in the Beis HaMikdash itself. You have some token to the Malchus to show that we have legitimate Amos Malchus. Amr Biyanei, li'olam te Amos Malchus alecha. Person should always have Amos Malchus on them. Shnemar, v'yardu kol avdecha elai v'yishtachvu li lemar. Now Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to Paro says, your avadim are going to come and they're going to bow to me saying. Now what does Moshe Rabbeinu say? V'ilu didei lo kamalei. He never says to Paro, you're going to bow to me. He says, your avadim are going to come bowing to me. So why does he not say to Paro, you're going to bow to me? Because Amos Malchus, you have to show respect to the king. Even if the king is Paro, you have to show respect to the king. Rabbi Yochanan Omer Mehacha, Shnemar v'yad Hashem ha'isal Eliyahu, Pasuk says, V'yad Hashem ha'isal Eliyahu, v'yishanes masnav, v'yaretz lefnei Achav ad bo'acha Yisraela. That Eliyahu ran in front of Achav. Achav was a horrible Rasha, and yet Eliyahu was also showing him cover of the Malchus. So that, there we see that you're supposed to have cover of the Malchus. Problem is, there is a Gemara in Sanhedrin, where in Sanhedrin daf Yutes, where the Gemara says, Avda Yanai Malka Kotel Nafsha. Yanai was a melech who killed people. Amlu Shimon ben Shetach Cham Tznuei Nechem Bovini Donenu. So Shimon ben Shetach says we need to judge him. Asav Yasav Amlu Shimon ben Shetach Yanai Melech Amor Al Raglech Aviyudubach. And he spoke to him very disrespectfully. He said, Yanai Melech, stand up, we're about to be made against you. So Tosis asks him there, I, what about Afilu Talmud Chacham doesn't have to stand when he's in court. So Kolshkein a melech shouldn't have to stand when he's in court. What kind of covet is that for the Malchus, that the Melech is going to have to stand while he's in court, asks Tosfos in Sanhedrin. So the Urim V'Tumim, Rabbi Yonah Sneibschitz writes in Urim V'Tumim, in Siman Yud Zayin, that based on Rashi, Maseches Brachos, that Yanai HaMelech was from the Malchus Beis Chashmonai, he killed all the Chachmei Yisrael who wanted a Pasul of Mikuhuna, and since he was this horrible, terrible Rasha, so they had no responsibility to be Cholik Kavod to him. So all the Acharonim ask, what are you talking about? Menachas Tav Tzadik Ches. Paro, Achav, we showed kavod. The Gemara seems to say you show kavod to anybody and everybody, no matter any melech, no matter how horrible the melech is. So that's the kasha actually. Tzitz Eliezer in the Tshuva and Chelik Yutes Siman Nun asks this kasha on the Urim V'Tumim. So Tzitz Eliezer says that maybe that story with Achav, but also Shah Achav did Tshuva. He was a Baal Tshuva at that moment when he gave Eliyahu the ability to kill all the Nevi'i Abal and to do Kiritzono with the Nevi'i Abal. So that was a moment of Tshuva for Achav. And it's most mistaver that when everyone answered Hashem Elokim, Achav was amongst them who answered Hashem Elokim, and therefore he had a din of a Baal Tshuva. He was an Osa Maisa Amcha for that moment, and therefore Eliyahu ran to go greet him, to give him kavod. That's roi for a melech. So that's so it could be that Rabbi Yonah Snipeshitz is right, but Achav at that moment was a Baal Tshuva. Tzitz Eliezer says, I later found the Ralbag that says exactly this. The Ralbag points out this exact idea that Achav at that moment was experiencing a moment of Tshuva. But a legitimate bona fide Russia, you wouldn't have to show kavod to. That is the shita of the Tzitz Eliezer. There is a tshuva though in the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer in Choshem Mishpat Siman Kuf Tzadi was asked, very fascinating, that there was a czar or something that was coming to visit a shul. And normally, wherever the czar goes, they have choirs made up of men and women singing for the czar. So they asked the Chassam Sofer, can you have choirs of men and women singing for the czar in shul? It's Kalisha. Can you have everyone sing? Just everyone sing together. Now, Chassam Sofer writes in Tshuvas that even when the women are up in the balcony and you can't tell whose voice is whose, and they're also say you can't have them sing. They should all be quiet. You shouldn't hear any of their voices. He was very strict on the Kol Isha issues. So he was asked, what about for the Tsar? So he goes through a whole chadgadia about how we have to show cover for the Melech, and even if the Melech were the greatest Russia, we have to show cover. Menachas Sadiches, even Achav, even Paro, clearly not assuming like Rabbi Yonah Snipeshitz. And then at the end he says, and because the Melech is so wonderful and is so great, he wants to experience authentic Judaism. He doesn't want to experience women singing. That's not authentic Judaism. So therefore, you're not gonna sing for him. So it sounds like he's heading down the path of saying, do whatever you need to do for the king. And then last minute, you know, he takes a left turn and says, or a right turn, and says that he wants to experience authentic Judaism, so you can't have anyone singing. Okay, weiter. Okay, it says the Gemara further, at the two dots. V'aloyu l'trufa. So Rashi points out, what's this talking about? What's this pasuk about? It's the mayan that's ultimately going to be yotzei from the base Kodesh HaKadoshim, where they're going to have these trees next to the spring that springs out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the leaves are going to be the trufa, are going to be a medication. So what kind of medication? One says it's going to cure people who are mute, that people who are unable to have children will be able to have children. So exactly that machlokas. Back to the Lechem Apanim now. Had the Pasuk said that the way the Lechem Apanim are placed on the Shulchan is that you bake 12 chalos and you place them in two rows, v'lonem or sheish, and it never would have said that you put them in two rows of six each. It just would have said 12 chalos in two rows, ha'yisi yomar ach shal arba v'ach shal shmona. I would have thought that you could have one row of eight, one row of four, that you could divide it up however you want. Lekach nem or sheish. That's why the Pasuk also has to say sheish. V'lonem or shtayim arachos, and if it would have told me two rows, six each, and it never would have said 12 chalas total, I would have thought that you could have three rows of six each also. That it doesn't have to be, it's a minimum of two rows with six each, but maybe you could have 18 chalas of lechem upon him. That's why we needed the number 12. Had it only told me the total number and not told me two and six, it only would have told me the total number 12, I would have thought that it's three rows of four each. That's why it has to tell me two rows of six each. So had we not had these three psukim, we would not have known exactly how to arrange the lechem upon him. So how does it actually work? You put two rows of six each of lechem upon him. And if you have one row of eight, one row of four, you're not yotzei. It's not a fulfillment of the mitzvah. Shtayim shel sheva sheva. If you have two rows of seven each, Rebbe Yomer Ro'nas Elyona Kilu Eino. We view the top challahs on each row as if they don't exist. The top lechem apanim on each row as if they're not there, because it's supposed to be two rows of six, not two rows of seven. I vabin v'nasata al. Don't you need v'nasata al that you need to put the bezichei levona on, directly on the lechem apanim? So how can you view the top ones as if they're not there? The bezichei levona are going on top of them, and that's not the lechem apanim. So I'm Rav Chista from Nunav, I'm Rav Nunav Rav Chista, Rebbe Lutamei, Damar al b'samach. This is Rebbe Lishitasa. We just learned a little while ago that al doesn't mean on directly, it means b'samach, so the bezichei levona didn't go directly on top of the lechem apanim. Anyhow, the Tanya Rebbe Yom Nasata al Amarechas levona zaka, al b'samach, al just means the levona goes near. Ata omer al b'samach, enu ala al mamish. How do I know if it means near or on? K'shu omer, v'zakos al aronis ha-parochas, havyomer al b'samach. When it says the parochas go on the aron, that's clearly only b'samach. The kapores goes on top of the aron. The parochas doesn't. The parochas is only samach to the aron. So, good. Kol kelim shebemikdash. So now Beiter going in explaining the Mishnah. So we mentioned in the Mishnah that all the kelim in the mikdash were orcha l'orcha shel bayis. They were arranged lengthwise across the length of the Beis HaMikdash. That was the Mishnah on Tzadivav Amud Aleph, right? That kol kelim shebemikdash were arranged lengthwise. So Tanur Rabban, kol kelim shebemikdash orcha l'orcha shel bayis chutz mei aron she'orcha l'rachva shel bayis. All the kelim in the mikdash lengthwise went along the length of the Beis HaMikdash, except for the Aron, where the length of the Aron went across the width of the Beis HaMikdash. V'kacha yamunach, v'kacha yabadav munachin. And that's the way it was placed, and that's the way the poles were placed in it as well. That So Micah Amar, what do we mean, that's the way the poles were placed as well? Hachikam, kacha yamunach, mitabadav kacha yamunachin. How do I know that the length of the Aron went across the width of the Beis HaMikdash? Because of the way that the badim had to have been placed. Ubadav minal, and how do I know that the badim had to go across the width of the aron? Titani v'yarichu abadim yachal lo yehu nogin b'parochas, because it says that the badim were long. So the yachal lo yehu nogin b'parochas. You might think that the badim were long; they didn't actually touch the parochas, though. Tamalomar v'yirou, that they were able to be seen on the outside. So obviously they must have touched the parochas. Ivirou yachalu makarim b'parochas v'yotzin. If a row, you would think that the badim were like the mantle of the Sefer Torah, that are two holes that where they stick right through the parochas. They would stick right through the curtain. So you might have thought that it's like that. Talmud Lomar lo yiro achutza. No, you can't really see it on the outside. Well, wait a second. You just said you can see it from the outside. So can you? Can you not? How big were the badim? Did the badim actually stick into the parochas, or did they not stick in? So Haketz said, they protruded out, they made the parochas stick out a little bit, like shnei dadei isha, that the way a woman's body is formed, that you could see that something is sticking out. So that's the way that, and obviously the symbolism of shnei dadei isha in a place of kedusha is obviously always about the yinika, the fact that that just like the dadei isha are what gives support and sustenance to a child, so too it's the kodesh hakodashim and the presence of the shechina that gives sustenance to Klal Yisrael, that allows us to survive. Now Rashi raises a very important question on the bottom of Amud Aleph. We're talking about the bottom of the Aron sticking through the Parochas. Rashi says, well, wait a second. Where was there a Parochas? In the first base of Mikdash or the second base of Mikdash? So the Gemara tells us, Masechet Basra and elsewhere, that Mishnayos tells us really, that in the first base of Mikdash, the first base of Mikdash was shorter than the second base of Mikdash. So the second base of Mikdash, because it was taller and they only had one Amma allotted for the wall that separates the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they couldn't have an Amma of Binyan, because it would have toppled, it wouldn't have been sturdy enough. So in the second base of Mikdash, where it was taller, the 40 Ammas of height, they needed to have a curtain. The first base of Mikdash had a wall, they had the Amatrax, and they had a wall. So the second base of Mikdash had a curtain. In the second base of Mikdash, the Gemara tells us, they didn't have the Aron. The Aron was Nignas, B'yimei Yoshio HaMelech, he was going as the Aron. So we're talking about bottom of the Aron sticking into a parochas. Mm-hmm. But there was no parochas in the first base of Mikdash, and there was no Aron in the second base of Mikdash. So Rashi says it must be that they put an extra parochas there in the first base of Mikdash. Parochas ha'isa prusa b'pesach beis kodesh ha'kadoshim l'tznius ba'alma. They put a parochas by the Pesach for tznius ba'alma. Not as a mechitza. The Amatrax was the mechitza, but they put a parochas there as well. That's what you have to say, otherwise you run into trouble. Okay, so that's how it was arranged. Shenemar, That's how we know that it stuck out like the Dada Isha. How do I know that the Badim ran along the width of the Aron? Maybe the Badim sat along the length of the Aron. So no, they couldn't have gone along the length of the Aron, because if they went along the length of the Aron, people carrying it had to be standing along the width. So there can't be two people that fit in the width of the Aron. The width of the Aron is only an Am and a half. Two people don't fit an Am and a half. Right? We know from Mesechta Sukkah and Mikvaos that a person takes up one Amma. So you can't have two people taking up an Amma and a half. So Minolan de Barba Havadar Lahu, how do I know that there are four people carrying the Aron? Maybe there were fewer people carrying the Aron. Maybe it was only two. You only need one on each side. And therefore there was enough space. Tchsiv Nasu Akasim Trey, Nasu Emigdash Nami Trey. We dash from Sukkah that there had to have been four people. Anyway, it was a miracle to have four people be able to lift this thing. The Aron, if people have done cheshbonos of the weight of gold and the amount of gold that must have been in the Aron was several tons. It was extremely heavy. Gold is very, very heavy. So the Aron, as it was extremely, extremely heavy, and it was a miracle that they were able to carry it. It was Nosei as Nosev. It carried those who carried it. But anyway, so that's but the only way the four people could fit was if the Badim ran along the width so that the people could stand along the length. Tanu Rabbanan, Asar Shulchanos Aso Shlomo Melech. Shlomo Melech made... By the way, the exact placement of the Aron is a three-way machlokas rishonim, where the Aron was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, whether it was in the middle of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or it was or is in the eastern side of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or in the western side of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. If you look at Tosos on the top, Tosos says it was Maisa Neis Haya, Doron Be'emsa Kodesh HaKadoshim Haya. It was a Maisa Neis that the Badim were able to stick out that far, because it was right in the middle of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Kol Tzad Haya Eser Amos, there were 10 Amos on each side, and there's no way the Badim were that long. So it must be that it was a Maisa Neis that somehow the Badim stuck through the Paroches. Others say it wasn't a Maisa Neis, it was right up there, right up against near the curtain. So that's a major machlokas rishonim, a three-way machlokas rishonim, exactly where it was. Okay, weiter. So we have this price. Tan Rabbanan. Asar shulchanos asa Shlomo Melech. Shlomo Melech made 10 shulchanos. Shnemar vayah shulchanos asara vayonuch behechel chamishim yimin v'chamishim mismol. Instead of the one shulchan, and there's a Moshe Rabbeinu, there were 10 shulchanos, additional shulchanos that Shlomo Melech made. Five on the right, five on the left. V'im tomer chamishim yimin ha-pesach, chamishim mismol ha-pesach, im kein matzinu shulchan b'darob, v'atora amr v'ashulchan titanal tzal Suffolk. And you can't say five on the right, five on the left means five on the right of the doorway, five on the left of the doorway, because then you're going to have shulchanos that are in the south, and the Torah says the shulchan has to be in the north. That's why the Gemara in Bava Basra says harotzal ha'ashir yatspin. If you want to get rich, you face north, because the shulchan represents wealth, and the shulchan has to be in the north. So how can you have five shulchanos in the south? No, it means five to the right of Moshe shulchan, five to the left of Moshe shulchan. Moshe Rabbeinu shulchan was be'emtza, but they were all really in the north. Tanu Rabbanan, Asar menoros asa Shlomo. Shlomo HaMelech also made 10 menoros. Shem Rav Yassas HaMenoros HaZav Eser Kemishpat Ve'yitein Behechel Chamishim Yimin V'Chamishim Yismol. Again, five on the right, five on the left. V'im Tamar Chamishim Yimin HaPesach V'Chamishim Yismol HaPesach. If you can say it means five on the right of the doorway, five on the left of the doorway, Im Kein Matzino Menor B'Tzafon V'Tamar Rav Yassas HaMenor Nochach HaShulchan. The menor is supposed to be opposite the Shulchan. It's got to dafka be in the south. Harotza Lahachim Yadrim. You want to become wise, you face south, because that's where menorah has to be. So how can it be five in the northern side? Ela shel Moshe ben tzal chamishim yimina v'chamishim yismala. No, it means that the menorah of Moshe ben was in the middle, five to the right of that of Moshe ben was menorah, five to the left of Moshe ben was menorah, but not five. But all of them are in the south. Tani chadim mechatzi bayis lefnim hayu menachin, v'tani chadim mishlisha bayis lefnim hayu menachin. So one shita says it was halfway into the base of Mikdash, the other a third of the way. Lo kasha, mar kachashu beis katshe kadashim bahadei hechal, mar lo kachashu beis katshe kadashim bahadei hechal. Depends whether you count the area of the kodesh kadashim, whether it would be one third or one half. Tan rabban, mizruch marav hayu menachin, divrei Rebbe, that the shulchan was placed east west. So according to Rebbe, Rabbi b'shimon amr tzafon v'darim, north south. My time of the Rebbe, where does Rebbe get the idea that it was placed east west? Gamra mi menorah, he learns it from menorah. Ma menorah mizruch marav, afanami mizruch marav. If the menorah was east west, so the shulchan also east east-west. Umenorah gufu minolin. How does he know the menorah was east-west? Midichsiv b'ner ma'aravi yarochel so'arun lefnei Hashem. That the ner ma'aravi is the one that's lefnei Hashem. Mechal deklu lo lefnei Hashem. It sounds like the rest of them were a little further away from being lefnei Hashem. V'yisal kadai tichtzav from v'darom. But if it ran north-south, then kulanami lefnei Hashem ninu. Then they're all as close to being lefnei Hashem as each other. For Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon in my time, where does Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon get the idea that the Shulchan ran north-south? Gomer me'aron. He learns that from the Aron. Ma Aron Safran Vidarum, Afhani Nami Safran Vidarum. If the Aron ran north-south, so the Shulchanus also ran north-south. V'Rebbe Nami Ligamra Mi'aron. Why doesn't Rebbe want to learn from the Aron? So Dan Chutz Mi'chutz, Ve'in Dan Chutz Mi'pnim. He'd rather compare that which is outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim to that which is outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and not to the Aron, which is inside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon Ligamra Mi'menorah. Why doesn't Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon learn the Shulchan from the menorah? Makes sense, they're both outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He says, I would. The thing is, the menorah is also placed in a north-south placement, not east-west. But didn't we prove that it must be east-west because we described one candle as being lefnei Hashem? But it says Yaruch Asar Aruvanov, and it says lefnei Hashem. It should be a v'chule over there. So it says Gemara demitzadid lehu at studei, that it was placed at an angle. The Tanya al pnei amenori iru shivas and eros melamishem mitzadim pnei and klapi nerem tzay, that the candles were angled, the neros were angled toward the Nerem Tzai. That's all it means. Amar Rabbi Nassan Mikan Shem Tzai Mushubach. What you see from here, bottom line is that the middle one is always the most praiseworthy, is always the most chashuv. What do you mean? And therefore, the main nafkamina, that the middle one is always the most chashuv. So Rashi's nafkamina is, if you have 10 psukim to read on a Monday or a Thursday from the Kriyas HaTorah, and you need to divide it up into 3 aliyos, give Levi 4 psukim, the Kohen and the Yisrael 3 psukim each. Because you want to, then Tzai is Mushubach. The middle one always has to be the best. Tos says, no, that's not Pshat. Emtsai Meshubach is just a reference to what the Gemara says elsewhere, that when three people are walking, you should have the, like we have by the Kohen Gadol, that the Kohen Gadol's Be'emtsa, and the Sagan, he's flanked on the sides by people who are less chashuv than him. So the most chashuv person, whenever you're walking together, should always be the person standing in the middle. Okay, let's stop there.